Talk Radio.
Pentecost stands for 50 days after Passover.
we have Pentecost. And this is, you know, we're going to be focusing on the Most High today and the Pentecost for the entire weekend. And we will celebrate Pentecost on tomorrow night. Pentecost is all day Sunday, but we know that the days start at the nighttime. We will do something during the day as well on Sunday. I love all the feast days of the Most High, but this one, his citizenship day, when he opens up the kingdom to everyone, when he fulfills the promise that he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh, because this is something that was not done prior to Pentecost in 30 or 33 AD, after Messiah is crucified. His spirit was reserved for his holy men, his prophets, and his king. And it was not open to the common man. So prior to this, the only ones who really qualified for the kingdom of Elohim and qualified for the new promise would be the kings and the prophets. The average everyday man didn't qualify, because the Most High said you must be born of water and of spirit. And if he was only giving his spirit to the prophets and to the kings, then that was his remnant, a new covenant. So we're going to get into this today and all this weekend, because we need to understand that this is a very important feast day. All of them are important, but this one is especially important as it relates to the kingdom, because this is how the Most High opened the kingdom to us. And so it is critical that every saint understand this feast day. And so we're going to look at it in the old, we're going to look at it in the new, and we're going to concentrate on it in the new because it is the new covenant that we are under. We're going to see what the old one was, but we want to concentrate on the new. Let us raise holy hands. Well, let us turn toward the east. All the ladies, cover your heads. All the men, uncover your heads. Let us do our statement of faith. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise today. Raise your voice up to the Most High Elohim. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 10,000 praises to you, Yah, my Elohim, my Father, my Savior, and my Redeemer. Yah, we just glorify you and lift you up today. We thank you for keeping us yet another week and allowing us to worship you yet another Sabbath and to obey your statutes, laws, and commandments. Father, we just want to glorify you and lift you up, magnify you and extol you, Father, for truly you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Hallelujah. We just thank you for being just so good to us and even considering us. Hallelujah. But we are not worthy. Hallelujah. We are not worthy, Father, but we thank you for taking interest in us. Hallelujah. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Yeshua HaMashiach, precious name. Amen and amen. Amen. Let us raise holy hands to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedness, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishments that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that we have done wicked. And, Father, we are repenting of our sins and returning from our wicked ways. And, Father, we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you will smile upon this work, that you will give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. I want to go to, rather than going to, yeah, let's do 1 Kings. We're going to do that. And then we're going to go to the book of Acts, chapter 7. Chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they, Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captive and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemy, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Acts, chapter 7. The book of Acts. In chapter 7. Then said, and we're going to start in verse 1. Then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men and brethren, fathers, hearken, listen. The Elohim of glory appeared unto our fathers Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I will show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans, and dwelt in Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land, wherein you now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it. No, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And Elohim spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said Elohim. And after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But Elohim was with him and delivered him out of all the afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dart or a famine over all the land of Egypt and Chanaan, and that's Canaan, and great affliction. And our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 75 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and we were carried over into Shechem and laid in a sepulcher that Abraham bought for some of money of the sons of Emor, the father of Shechem. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which Elohim had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end that they might not live. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deed. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that Elohim by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. The next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, you are brethren. Why do you wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made you? Or who may be a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at that same, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of Yah, and a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of Yah came unto him, saying, I am Elohim of thy fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said Yah to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen, and I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did Elohim send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall Yah, your Elohim, raise up unto you of your brethren. Like unto me, he shall you hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us Elohims to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto idols and rejoiced in the work of their own hands. Then Elohim turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets. O ye house of Israel, have you offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your Elohim, Raphim, figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Yeshua into the possession of the Gentiles, whom Elohim drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before Elohim and desired to find a tabernacle for the Elohim of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith Yah? Or what is the place of my rest? Has not my hand made all these things? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them with shows before the coming of the Just One, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of Elohim and Yeshua standing on the right hand of Elohim, and said, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of Elohim. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon Elohim and saying, Yeshua HaMashiach, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Yah, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. Pentecost weekend. The gospel. The kingdom. Here we have Stephen. And he runs down the complete history of our forefathers up until that time. And he's witnessing to them concerning their actions with the Most High and the promise of the Messiah even through Moses. This is the prophet that Messiah talked about. Another shall the Most High send to you. Him shall you listen to. And Stephen is running this down that they have murdered him, the one that was promised by Moses. And the men get so mad that they rush him and start gnashing on him, biting him. Now, you got to be something mad to bite somebody. You really wanting to hurt them. You're not hitting them, stoning them. But you bite them to hurt them, and then you drag them outside the city and stone them. And he begs the Most High to not hold this against them, just as Messiah did. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This day of Pentecost that we're going to be studying all this weekend was given to Israel to keep, even in the wilderness. And it was a time of celebrating the blessing. This is what it was for in Torah, the blessings of the harvest, how the Most High had richly blessed Israel. But we know that everything that the Most High does has more than one connotation, has more than one meaning. So just as he's telling Israel, I'm going to bless you, and I want you to bring the harvest and the first fruits of the harvest to me, pay homage to me, and I will continue to bless you, those harvests also represented the souls that the Most High was going to be reaping in the future as well. And Israel was supposed to be the one spreading the oracles of the Most High, the gospel, the statutes, laws, and commandments. And so he gave us this feast day that we might celebrate it in the natural, but also that we might celebrate it in the spiritual. So let us go to the book of, I think we'll go to Exodus, chapter 34. Book of Exodus, chapter 34, and let's get verses 22 and 23. Exodus, chapter 34. Verses 22 and 23. And thou shalt observe the feast of wheat, of the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and of the feast of the ingathering at the end of the year. Now, the feast of the ingathering comes after tabernacle. This right here, the feast of weeks, was one of the 3 days in the year that all the men, male children, were supposed to appear before the Most High. Verse 23. Thrice or three in the year shall all your men children appear before Yah Elohim, the Elohim of Israel. Because the firstborn, everything that breaks the matrix of the womb, that comes through the womb, all of the males, the Most High said, they were actually first given to the priesthood. And they had to be redeemed. Now, when we look up in Pentecost and we see that the Most High Messiah came and he what redeemed us by his work on the cross. Under the law, all the males, the firstborn, had to be redeemed. And they had to be paid for with money. I think it was like 5 shekels of the temple shekel. They had to be redeemed. So they were given to their families. And then later on, the Most High said, okay, as the priesthood grew, when the children of Israel would bring their firstborn to be redeemed, their firstborn males to be redeemed, the Most High said, now I'm going to replace them with a Levite. And so for everyone, just a little bit of historical history behind this, the Most High would replace each newborn with a Levite. And so it would be redeemed and then replaced with a Levite. So it was like a one-for-one exchange. But all the ones, if there were more people, more newborns, than there were Levites, then the people had to pay, you know, had to redeem them still. So this was one of the customs of our people. But redemption was always there. But we got to understand that Pentecost was one of those times that all the firstborn males had to appear. And they had to bring a gift. And they were the redeemed of the Most High. So when we come to Pentecost in the future, in the New Testament, then we have to understand that this is not a new concept. The Most High has always been doing redemption work. And it's not that the ladies weren't redeemed, but they were redeemed through the men. Then the Most High says, I'm going to do a new work. A new work. I'm going to pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Let's go to Leviticus. The book of Leviticus, chapter 23. I believe that's where I want to go. Let me make sure of that. Leviticus chapter 23, and we're going to get verses 16 through 22. This is Pentecost and Torah. Our forefathers would bring their, you know, the first fruits of their harvest. They would be celebrating it, and it would also be like redeeming the harvest when he presented it before the Most High, because he would bless them and increase it the next year. The males, firstborn males, all the males had to appear before him at Pentecost. And they were supposed to be, have been redeemed from birth by their parents. Leviticus chapter 23. And verses 16 through 22, I believe I said. 16 through 22. All right. Amen. Wow. Let me get the right chapter. 23 verses 16 through 22. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath. So these are my feast days. It says, let's go back up a verse. Yeah, let's go back to verse 15. And you shall count unto you from the morrow, after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be completed. So the wave offering was brought the first day after the Passover Sabbath, weekly Sabbath, not the Passover as a Sabbath, because the Passover was a Sabbath, a holiday. But the weekly Sabbath, the first day after the weekly Sabbath of the Passover week would always be on a Sunday. And that was the heave offering. Seven Sabbaths from that. Then plus one day. So seven Sabbaths would have been 49 days. Add one more day. On the morrow, after the seventh Sabbath, you shall number 50 days. And you shall offer a new meat offering unto Yah. So this is what our forefathers would have been doing. They would have been offering a meat offering. And the meat offering was like an offering of peace. It wasn't a sin offering. And I want everybody to understand that not all of the offerings that were done in Torah were actually done away with. Messiah satisfied the what? Sin offering. But the Most High, he never wanted animal sacrifice for sin. He says, the blood of bull and goats, I never want it. Because really, their sacrifice unto me, they're giving their, you know, their lives are being sacrificed to me. And now I got to replace, use it as a replacement for you. Because I should be killing you. But I'm going to let you kill these animals instead. But these animals I made for my pleasure too. And the smell of them on the altar is a sweet smell in my nose. So we took something that the Most High had pleasure in, and he had to now use it for our sin. And he said it stank because of our sin. So I never wanted that, you mixing your sin with my offerings and my sacrifices that I enjoy. Okay. They were a sweet smell in his nose. And so they will be reinstituted again because he still likes that smell, but he don't want it for sin. I hope we can hear this. So we have the 50th day. And you shall offer a meat offering unto Yah. You shall bring out of your habitation two wave loaves of two-tenth deal. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baking with leaven. Now this is the opposite of what? The Feast of Unleavened, You shall not have any leaven in your house. But for Pentecost, he said, they shall be baking with leaven. They are the first fruits unto Yah. We come with leavening. And we will be parts of the first fruits to Yah. But he will have made us clean. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish the first year, and 1 bullock, and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto Yah, and their meat offering and their drink offerings, and even offering made by fire, of a sweet savor, a sweet smell unto Yah. So, you know, I'm telling you that the Most High, these animal sacrifices, the cattle and the sheep, they were a sweet smell in his nose, in his nostril. He liked the smell of the fat burning, if we understand and we read the scriptures. But then when he's got to use them as a sin offering for us, that their blood might take our place, should be us being killed. He says, so I have a plan of redemption. And until I can put that plan into place, I'm going to allow you to bring these animal sacrifices. But once Messiah comes, the sacrifice for sin was no longer required. But all these other sacrifices, because we don't have the temple and we don't have the altar, we can't make those sacrifices to the Most High. It's not that he doesn't like them or doesn't want them, but he took the temple out of the way and the altar out of the way, the physical altar, that we might not be able to make them to him. So it appears that he didn't want to smell anything like that from us until he has fully redeemed us and all of mankind. Because we can read in Ezekiel, he's going to restore this system. Verse 19, then they shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of a peace offering. And when you read about the peace offering is something that you do on your own. You haven't sinned. You want to come and you want to, you know, make an offering to the Most High. In this case, he said they could bring 2 lambs as the peace offering. But they had to bring something else, the kid of the goats, or a sin offering because Messiah had not been offered. So these things all go together. And we got to understand that not all sacrifice that was made to the Most High did he not want. But he never wanted it for sin. The blood of bulls and goats for sin, he never wanted. But the sacrifices, you know, of the animals and their sacrifice on the altar and their being basically cooked on the altar, burnt up on the altar, was a sweet smell in his nose. And we got to understand that. So we have, this is what would have been going on even on the day of Pentecost when in the book of Acts chapter 2. But the Most High does a new work, and we're going to read about that new work. But we're just looking at what our forefathers would have been doing all those years prior to that, coming up to that. You know, with redemption, the firstborn males had to appear. They had been redeemed. And they had to appear before the Most High. And they could not appear empty-handed. They had to appear with an offering to him because they had been redeemed. And we got to understand that when we get to Pentecost in the New Testament with Messiah, we have a redemption going on again. But now it's open up to everybody. Let us go to Let us go to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. And we're going to start in verse 31. Verse the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. And we're going to start in verse 31. Now, this is when the Most High makes the promise to Israel of a new covenant. And the old covenant was that they were to put on their tzitzits, their phylacteries. They were supposed to study the law. It was supposed to be before them, written before them all their whole life, and they were supposed to meditate on the law day and night. They were supposed to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. They're supposed to become a peculiar people, precious before the Most High, the most precious thing that he had created, his priesthood, his inheritance. Verse 31. Behold, the days cometh, saith Yah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. Although I was a husband unto them, saith Yah. How was he a husband unto them? Thou shalt not take the name of Yah thy Elohim in vain. In the King James, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. Thou shalt not take the name of Yah thy Elohim in vain, meaning that you don't say you belong to him. You come into relationship with him. You're his people. He's like a husband, and we were like the wife as a people to him. All the duties that a husband is supposed to do for a wife, he was going to do for Israel. He was going to multiply Israel. He was going to take care of Israel. He was going to keep Israel safe. He's going to be willing to give his life for Israel. And he came and did that. So when the people took the Ten Commandments, the Ten Instructions, which really was a marriage contract, you shall have no other Elohim before me. You shall not bow down to any other Elohim. You shall have no man, other man before me. You shall not lay down with any other man. You shall not take your husband's name in vain, as being worthless. This is what the Most High was saying to them. They broke this covenant. They broke the marriage vow to the Most High. So he says, I'm going to make a new covenant. Not like the one I made before when I wrote the commandments in stone. That they would be, think about it. He carved these things in stone, and they were to be with them from generation to generation. Wouldn't burn up in a fire. They could be thrown down and broken, but basically they were indestructible. He gave it to them that they would have it. He says, now, not like that covenant, but I'm going to take it and write it in your heart now. A new covenant based on better promises. And I'm going to write it in your heart. Let's find out how. Verse 31 again. Behold, the days come, saith Yah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days that I took them out of the land to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yah. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith Yah, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know Yah, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yah, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. We got to understand that this new covenant that he was giving to Israel his inheritance in the world, his priesthood. He says, I wrote my laws in stone, and you placed them in the Ark of the Covenant. But you didn't keep that promise. You didn't keep that covenant. So now I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to write a new covenant, and I'm going to write them in your hearts. I'm going to write them in your inward part. When we just read the word, this is why we got to understand Pentecost and what the Most High is doing, and that, you know, no saint can go by this day and understand it and not pursue what the Most High has done. It's important because this every year, this is what you shouldn't wait for this day, but every year we celebrate this feast day because this is the day that the Most High released his new covenant through Messiah. This is the day that he kept his promise, that he would write his laws in our heart. We have to say, how? How is the Most High going to write his laws in our hearts? They had the Ten Commandments. They were reading them. They had Torah. They were reading them, and it still wasn't in their heart. So what did the Most High have to do to get this thing on the inside of Israel, on the inside of all those that he's going to call Israel and his people? Let us continue. Let us go to Zechariah, the book of Zechariah, chapter 4. And I want us to understand that this is what this is all about. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of Yah unto Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel are those that are called out of confusion, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith Yah of hosts. By my spirit, to everyone that is called out of confusion, this is how I'm going to do it. Let's go to the book of Joel. The book of Joel, chapter 2. See if the Most High is consistent, or if we're just putting stuff together, making it sound like this. The book of Joel, chapter 2. And let's see. Let's start in verse 27. Joel chapter 2, starting in verse 27. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am Yah your Elohim, and none else, nobody else. Because our, you know, the Most High, I read this verse earlier today, and I believe it's in Jeremiah, where he said Israel had, they had a God for every city. So however many cities that Israel had, that's how many gods they had. So he's saying here, and you shall know that I am in the, you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am Yah your Elohim, and none else. Why? Because we had many, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out of my spirit. Underline that. He didn't say a spirit. Yah Elohim is talking. That's who is making the conversation. I shall pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I'm not pouring out of another spirit. I'm not giving you the spirit of an angel. I'm not giving you the spirit of something outside of me. My is personal. I shall pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out of my spirit. Now, the second part of this prophecy is speaking of in the latter days when he is about to return. Then he's going to show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillar of smoke. But right now, while we are yet able to, our Elohim is doing a work not only with us, his people, but he says on the handmaiden and on the bond servant. And if you know the law, the Most High said, you shall not take handmaidens or bond servants of your own brothers and sisters. He's talking about the Gentiles, because he said they could take handmaidens and bond servants of the Gentiles. So he's telling us, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon you, your children, your children's children, but also your bond maidens and your bond servants, which represent the Gentile nation, if we understand Scripture. So by my spirit, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith Yah Elohim. And under this new covenant, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now, all don't mean all. It's all who are obedient, all who seek after him, all who ask him. So let us go now. Understanding from the very beginning, the Most High said he's going to do this thing how? By his spirit. And this new covenant, this is how I'm going to get my statutes and my laws and my commandments in you. This is how you're going to have the power to obey them. This is how you're going to be reminded of them, because my spirit will tell you, you can't do that. And he's not going to make it a forceful takeover. And every one of us have to want this. And have to desire it with everything that's within us. How do you think that we will receive the Ruach HaKodesh? When he says in the first covenant, he was a husband to us, and we didn't keep it. Now I'm going to be your husband again, and you don't want me with everything that's in you? You don't desire me with all of your heart? You want me to pour myself out on you, my spirit on you, and you don't even know if you love me, if you will obey me? So you have to be 100%. Everything that he says concerning himself, we have to want him with everything. He's telling us what he requires. I require you all. Pentecost is the day that he releases, because this was not available to the average everyday man. And it sure was not available to the Gentiles. But it wasn't even available to every Hebrew, male or female, until this time. But he was telling us all along, this is how I'm going to do it. Not by might. Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel stands for called out of confusion, out of Babylon, out of confusion. When you can hear the gospel and hear it in your heart and not be confused by the gospel, but understand that your Elohim is calling to you, that you need to come out of this world. He has a great gift for us, the gift of salvation, redemption. I'm going to take you to myself. We have to want him with everything. By my spirit, saith Yah Elohim, I'm going to put a new covenant. I'm going to institute the new covenant. I'm going to put my statutes, my laws, and my commandments in your heart and not on stone. And you can't just read this and get it. You have to read to find out about it. That's all reading does for you. That's all reading the scripture does, is tell you about what he's doing and how you get it. Spiritual beings require spiritual words. These words I speak, they are spirit and they are life, but they are not the spirit. They are the words spoken by the spirit. By my spirit, saith Yah. So we have to step into that, and that's what Pentecost is all about. That's what this harvest is all about. That is what this redemption is all about. It's not anything new. It's just that I'm going to make a better promise. I'm not just going to take the firstborn male. I'm also going to take the female. I'm also going to take the Gentiles. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh, those that will yield to me, that will submit themselves to me, that will come out of transgression, that will not transgress my statutes, my laws, and my commandments. I'm going to do it by my spirit. Let's go. Where I want to go from here. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2. Now, when we come to the book of Acts, chapter 2, Messiah has been crucified. He has been in the grave 3 days. He has come out of the grave, and he has ascended into the heavens. He's gone and paid the price with his blood. He returns to the earth to teach the disciples 40 days. 40 days. And on the 40th day, he's taken up, back up into heaven. He ascends. And we have the angels telling the men, all of them watching him ascend, the same way you see him go is the same way he's coming back. That's your sign. He ain't coming through the womb of a woman. He's not coming as a child again and growing up. He's going to descend from the heavens. And if we don't see that, we know it's not him. Same way we see him go, that's the same way he's got to return. Now, he makes a promise to them. Go into Jerusalem. Why? Because I have received all power in heaven and in earth. And I'm going to give you power. So go in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. What was the promise of the Father? And I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That's the promise of the Father. Go into Jerusalem and wait for the promise. Because the Most High says, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So now let's look at that event. Because, see, this is a very important day in history. It's going to matter to all of mankind from this point forward when it happens to them back in 30 to 33 AD, whatever day that was, after Messiah's ascension. The book of Acts, chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover, 50 days after Messiah was killed, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. One accord, that means that they were there for the same reasons. They were of one mind. He told us to come here and wait and to pray and wait on the promise of the Father. They're waiting for this promise. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Stop there. Let's go to Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of Elohim. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of Yah came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar. And the hand of Yah was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. So Ezekiel has seen this whirlwind. He has seen this rushing mighty wind. He heard it, he saw it, and he describes it. Then he describes that it's a bunch of angels. Now, if we stopped here and we read all the way down to, verse 25, we would get a description of the angels that Ezekiel saw. We would also get a description of the Most High, because, see, people get caught up in, because they don't want to believe that the Most High is the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. They want to believe that it's a spirit aside and apart from him, another angel like Gabriel. But Ezekiel says, I heard this and saw this rushing mighty, this whirlwind, and it was a bunch of angels. But he says that on top of the angel was one like unto the Son of Man. And he describes his color, you know, of amber. And we've read these verses before. But I've seen too many people get caught up in, because, as I said, and it has to be, you know, I'm thinking, what is the spirit? What is the spirit behind this? That has got to be this flock of angels, and then the angels themselves are making men speak with what we're about to read in Acts chapter 2. But I want to get this very clear to us. The one on top of the angel. Let's drop down to verse 25. Let's drop down to verse 24. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 24. And when they, the angels, went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of a great water, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their head. And when they stood and had let down their wings, and above the firmament was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne, the likeness as of the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw the color of amber as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it was had brightness round about it, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud of the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Yah. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that he spake unto me. And the Spirit entered into me. Now, the one that he is seeing on top of these angels, as like the appearance of a man, but it is the Most High Elohim. And he sits him up, and he enters into him. Now, by my Spirit, this is how the Most High dealt with the prophets. This is how he dealt with the kings. His Spirit would enter into them. Literally, his Spirit. So, I have a question, and you don't have to answer this, but we can believe in people being filled with unclean spirits and with demons. We can believe in that, but when it comes to being filled with the Spirit of the Most High, people have a problem. The Spirit of the Most High was designed to enter into us. We are his property. We are his creation. He made us that way. When a devil or an unclean spirit does it, they are actually there illegally. They want to manifest in the world. They want to take part in the world. They can't do it as a non-corporal spirit, a spirit with no form to them. Well, they have a form, but it's not anything physical in this world. So they have to enter into something physical to manifest themselves in this world. The Most High said, I made mankind for me to do that. We can accept the unclean spirits and the demons, and we can believe people can have those. But when the Most High says, by my Spirit, then we have a problem. Somehow we can't believe, or we don't want to make ourselves ready for that. So Ezekiel sees the Most High coming like a whirlwind. And he hears this whirlwind, and he hears the sounds. It's like the sounds. I want us to pick this up, okay? Go back to chapter 1. And let's get, where did I just do that at? Verse 24. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 24. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, the noise of great waters. Waters always represent peoples, okay? Even, prophetically, waters represent peoples. As the voice of the Almighty, the voice of the Almighty sounds like many peoples, okay? When it's heard, the voice of speech. So he's telling you what he's hearing. He's telling you that the wings of these angels sound like the voices of people, many peoples. But the voice of the Most High also sounds like many peoples talking at once. Now let's go back to Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts chapter 2. Start back at verse 1 again. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind or a whirlwind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, different languages, as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, because it says Holy Ghost here, the Most High says, I will pour out of my Spirit. And it's very important to us that we understand. It's important to us that we understand. Hold on a minute. It's important to us that we understand that Elohim is a spirit. Before he created anything, if we can just get this clear in our mind, before he created anything, he has always existed. He had to create everything else. So you have to say, ask yourself, before he created anything, who and what was he? Says that he's a spirit, so he had to always be spirit. Says that he is holy, so by default, he has to be the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. So when the scripture says that, it doesn't say by the Spirit of Yah. It says by the Holy Ghost. Then all of a sudden, we're trying to make this be a separate being. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But the scripture says these three are one. It doesn't say these three agree in one, in the same thing. It says these three are one. So how are they one? It's the same being doing different things. I am the Father of creation. I am the Son of redemption. I am the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. I created all other spirits. I created all other things. So based upon my works, I have different titles. And when I came into the world as the Son, I wanted you to know me this way, as the Son of redemption. But it's really me, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. So when he fills them, he says, by my spirit. He didn't say, I'm going to give them another spirit. He didn't say, I'm going to use an angel. I'm going to fill you with the spirit of Gabriel or the spirit of Raphael or any of the other archangels. He said, I'm going to fill you with my spirit, by my spirit, not by might, not by power, not by another spirit. But by my spirit, personally, me, I'm going to fill you. Now we see this promise through the prophet Joel. We see this promise through the prophet Zechariah. The Most High has always said, I'm going to do it by my spirit. This is how I'm going to get my statutes, my laws, and my commandments into you, into your heart. If you read them by yourself, you can have knowledge of them, but you have knowledge, but you won't do. That has been Israel's MO. Even when they were in the wilderness, and this is what Stephen was saying to them, you stiff-necked and hard-hearted, you do always resist the Spirit of the Most High. The Most High wanted to put his spirit into the people of Israel, even back in the wilderness. But they kept resisting him. Kept complaining. Kept trying to find reason to do what they wanted to do. And Yah says, I've been trying to save you all this time. I've been trying to fill you with my spirit all this time. David, you want to build me a temple? I already got a temple. You just don't know it, David. So you want to build me a house because you got this fancy palace now and I appear to you in a tent. So now you want to build me a house you feel that's equal to yours or better. But I'm not going to let you build it. I'll let your son build it because you got bloody hands. But I already have a temple. And it's not made with hands. That's you and I, brother and sister. This, on this day of Pentecost, this is when the Most High released his spirit to be available to all men, all mankind who heard the gospel. This is how you enter into the kingdom. It's how you get your citizenship. You must be a son of Elohim. And they use his son because really it says we are like the angels. When we are regenerated, we're going to be like the angels. We need to give it in marriage or get married. So he uses son. It's not like it, but it's representing both male and female. So every person ought to be celebrating this day, coming up Sunday, Pentecost, because the Most High does a new work in the earth. And he pours out his spirit. So I poured out my spirit upon all flesh, and I made it available to all flesh. But you had to repent. You had to seek me with your whole heart. You have to be hungry for me. You have to want to come back into a right relationship with me. You have to understand that you are cannot take my name, say that you belong to me, and then act up. Teach the nations to be wicked by your actions. Oh, yes, I belong to the Most High Elohim while I'm steadily sinning. Didn't he say don't do that? I know, but he'll forgive me. He says, no, you're taking my name in vain. You're treating it as if it's worthless. So he wants us to come to him right. Now, how we know that the Holy Ghost is not some other spirit? Again, let's use foolishness. Let's use some reasoning. All manner of sin shall be forgiven unto a man, all manner of blasphemy, except blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Why? If the Holy Spirit is an angel, then it says you can blaspheme against the Father, you can blaspheme against the Son, but you can't blaspheme against this angel. Wait a minute, wasn't the angel created? So this must not be an angel. He says, now, all manner of sin and blasphemy, even blasphemy of the Son, which is the Most High in flesh. He says, but this is a work that I'm doing. And if you want to blaspheme that, he says, I'll even forgive you for that. But if you want to blaspheme me directly, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, the first and the last, he said, you want to blaspheme me directly, will not be forgiven in this world or the world to come. You can't talk to me any kind of way. You can't say to me whatever you want to say. You can't treat me however you just want to treat me and think that you can get away with it. It won't be forgiven in this world or the world to come. Can we see how that makes more sense than you saying that the Holy Spirit is a separate spirit and apart from the Most High Elohim? Because in that spirit, if he's a separate spirit apart from the Most High Elohim, then you can blaspheme the Most High Elohim, but you can't blaspheme this spirit right here. So understand that the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is who and what the Most High is. That is him directly. And you're dealing with him directly when you're dealing with the Ruach HaKodesh. And I will pour out of my spirit. So when they're all filled with the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, on the day of Pentecost, who are they filled with? It's the promise of the Father. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So we have here in Acts chapter 2, the Ruach HaKodesh coming in and making the same sounds like Ezekiel heard, this whirlwind. And it sounds like many voices, but then he fills these people with himself. And they start speaking in all these different languages. Just as Ezekiel said, I heard it sound like the voices of many waters, many people, many different languages. Sounds like the voice of the Most High. Telling you that the voice of the Most High sounds like many different languages too. So no matter what language you speak, he knows it and can speak to you in your language. And it causes you to speak another language. This is what's going on. Let's continue. And there, verse 3 again, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues, different tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As the Spirit of the Most High gave them utterance. Say this. Say that. I hope we can hear and see this. And see that this is nothing new. Except for, I didn't do this to everybody. I didn't give this to everyone. Now on the day of Pentecost, after Messiah has paid for everybody's sins, the promise that I said that I would give to you, I'm now releasing it into the world. And I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So we hear what Ezekiel heard. We're reading what Ezekiel heard. I heard the voice of many waters, many peoples, as of the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech. Now here it is appearing on the day of Pentecost. And they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Not the spirits of the angels. Doesn't say that they were filled with the spirits of the angels, but the Spirit of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the Most High Elohim. Ezekiel said, I heard it before, and it sounded like the voice of many languages. He fills these people, and each one of them starts speaking a different language. And we have a problem with that today. And why you would not want this, why you would not desire this, why anybody would not desire this, it beats me. Open your mouth. Let the Most High speak. Let him direct you. Even if you don't understand what's being said. Because he said, this is what I'm going to do. So this thing didn't just, this was not something new in the earth as far as the Most High sounding like this and causing others to sound like this. It just wasn't for the common man. It wasn't for the everyday man or the everyday woman or the everyday Gentile, for Gentiles, period, before this time. Let's continue to read. And they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there was dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, not just common men, but devout men out of every nation under heaven. The Most High wanted some witnesses. And you had to be devout. You had to be living the life. You had to be a believer. You had to be keeping the law. He didn't just go get somebody and say, oh, let me fill you with my spirit. No, these were devout men. They were doing all they knew to do. And the Most High had them to gather in Jerusalem at this time for this purpose. Out of every nation. So we have to understand that we had spread all over the place. We weren't just in Jerusalem. We were occupied. Our land was occupied. But we weren't just in Israel. in all these other lands as well, just like we are today. Let's hear what happens. Let's read what happens. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every heaven and every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised or heard abroad, the multitude came together. All these people heard this and they're like, what's going on over there? And they came together and they were confounded. They were confused. They marveled because that every man heard them speak in what? His own language. Understand that they weren't all there in Jerusalem speaking Hebrew or Aramaic or Greek. They had moved into other countries, other nations. They were being born in other countries, in other nations. They understood who they were as a people. They understood 3 times a year they were supposed to come back to Israel, come back to Jerusalem. As the scripture said, 3 times in a year. So all your males appear unto me. If they're married, they got to bring their wives and children too, or leave them at home. So they are all coming, but they are not born in Israel, Hebrew Israelite. And they are coming for the feast day, the Pentecost, and they are devout. They have been keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments in as much as they could for the Most High to qualify them as being devout. Now, what do they hear? They hear every man the language in which he was born. So if they were born in Egypt and they grew up Egyptian, or they were born in Greece, they grew up Greek, or they were born in the Congo and they grew up, you know, speaking the language of a Congo, from Congo. They heard of the language of the land in which they were born. Let's read this. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galilean? So they would have expected them to be speaking Galilean. And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and in Cappadocia and in Pontus and in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and in Egypt, in all the parts of Libya about Cyrene and the strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. What is a proselyte? A proselyte is someone that has converted to the way. They believe in keeping the statutes, the laws, and the commandments of the Most High. They believe in keeping his feast days. They believe in the dietary law. That's a proselyte. They have been converted. So were these all just Hebrew Israelites? No. There were also converts. And because they were converts, they were considered to be as one in the land. That was the law. If someone wants to come close to me and they agree to be circumcised and to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments, they shall be as one in the land. So it just identifies them as Jews. We want to keep people separate today. But that is not the statute of the Most High. Stranger wants to come close. The law has always been. The law has always been that if they fulfill the requirements, they shall be as one that is born in the land. Now we see them coming from everywhere. And he tells you, Jews and converts, proselytes, the stranger that wanted to come close, they're part of the witnesses. But they're also considered to be part of Israel. You see how we have twisted this thing? You see how in our pride and in our ignorance, we have twisted the salvation of the Most High. We have tried to make it where, oh, no, you can't be. You are not one of us because you don't look like us. Trust me, none of these people looked alike. And so we have to get this thing right. We have to follow the statutes, the laws, and the commandments of the Most High Elohim. We have to do it by his Spirit. He says, in every land, those that fear and respect me are accepted with me. Even when we read in 1 Kings, if the stranger who shall hear of your name, your great name, whatever he prays for or she prays for, hear their prayer and answer it. Why? Because they have joined themselves to the Most High. So this is nothing new. It is we who have been beaten down, who our religion was stolen from us because we were disobedient. It was really stolen from us. It was given away. I can show you that in the scriptures as well. That the Most High says, I'm going to give it to another nation, bringing forth fruits. Because you've been stiff-necked and hard-hearted. But you still my people. And I still love you. But you shall not get away altogether unpunished. So here we see at Pentecost, Citizenship Day, citizenship into the kingdom. The Most High has devout men out of every nation. And they are not all Hebrew Israelites that have moved to other nations because a proselyte, a Hebrew Israelite cannot be a proselyte. You can't be a proselyte into something that you were born into. Converts, proselytes, at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, devout men out of every nation. And what did they hear? We hear every man in the tongue, in the language wherein we were born, the wonderful works of Elohim. This is what happened at Pentecost. And now, of course, everybody's going to get curious. They're dumbfounded. Wait a minute. How y'all doing that? How y'all speaking? And we know y'all Galileans. And if you read the scriptures, these weren't the smartest in the world. The Pharisees say, hey, we perceive that these men are unlearned. They ain't been to school. They're not educated. They grew up on the boats. They know fishing. They know tax collecting. But the Pharisees remembered that they had been with Yeshua. Later on when they start confronting them. So we, his people today, we got to understand that we must come in line with the scripture. Can't do it our own way. if we are not coming in line with the scriptures, then you're just doing your own thing. And I hate to tell you, but you probably ain't going to make it. Because he's given us his requirements, and he's showing us what he's done, and he's been doing it all along. He said, this is the promise. Don't hold back. Don't not circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Expose yourself to the Most High, Elohim. We celebrate his goodness to us. We celebrate his blessings to us. We celebrate how he has provided for us. That's part of the Pentecost. But then we also have to celebrate that the day that he chose to give us access to the kingdom, to get our citizenship. And understand that there are two types of tongues. There is the gift of tongues. This doesn't say that they were speaking with the gift of tongues, but that they spoke in tongues. But there is a gift of tongues that is used for the ministry. And then there's this. When the Ruach HaKodesh first fills you, and even when you go into your prayer closet, everything ain't meant to do what this did. It's not meant for everybody to hear it. Sometimes the Most High just wants to have a conversation between you and him. Let me deal with your spirit. Let me deal with you. And let me make this an A and a B conversation. So let me speak to you in a language that ain't nobody else going to understand but you. And you won't understand it. A lot of times, only your spirit will. Because I'm going to deal with that aspect of you. Spirit of the Most High enters into you, and he starts to speak. There's no telling what language comes out of you. As the scripture says, his voice sounds like the voice of many waters, many tongues. So he starts speaking to you, through you, even speaking to you. There's no telling what tongue you hear, but you will understand it if he wants you to understand it. This is what Pentecost was all about. I'm going to pour out of my spirit upon all flesh by my spirit, not by might. Not by power. I'm not going to overpower you. I'm not going to use my strength against you. Rashawn, just a minute. All right. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. We see this manifest itself on the day of Pentecost, and it's still going today. We better pray that it hasn't stopped yet. Because it's by his spirit, and this is how he lets us know. So it's not something that we should be running away from. It's not something that we should be saying, oh, well, not everybody does that. If the Most High may not give you the gift of tongues, but when he fills you with his spirit, you're going to speak in another tongue because that's the way he talks. His voice sounds like the voice of many waters, many people, the voice of speech. And so we as his people, we have to be wanting this. We have to be desiring this. We have to open up our mouths and let the Most High have his way. And if it's meant for you to give a message to someone, to the church, to somebody of another country, then the Ruach, if you let the Ruach have his way, then you will speak to those people, not you doing it. That's what we got to understand. It's not us. But this is a sign that the Most High has filled you. It's not something that we should shy away from or be ashamed of. It is a sign. And we've heard the scripture before. Tongues are for a what? Sign. Not to them that believe. But to them that believe not. But the believers not are not non-believers. These are believers that don't believe you feel. Why? Because I haven't seen the sign. When Peter came to Cornelius' house, how could he know that Cornelius was filled with the Ruach HaKodesh? How did he know that he was filled with the Holy Ghost? Did he hear him speak in Hebrew or in Greek or Aramaic? Any language that they knew, would that have been a sign? If I come to you speaking in English, is that a sign to you that I'm filled with the Ruach? I speak English, and I come to you speaking English. Is that a sign to you? Shouldn't be a sign. But if you heard me speaking in some unknown language, and then if you could interpret it, and I tell you, I don't know that language. And you can say, oh, that's a sign. But the fact that when you come into this and you start understanding how the Most High deals with us, then you understand, you know what? Everything that comes out of a person's mouth may not be meant for me. That's what the scripture teaches us. For this person is speaking in mystery, and that conversation is between them and Elohim. So if we hear it and we don't understand, we just see our way out of it. That ain't my conversation. But many of us get offended. We hear somebody speaking in tongues and get offended. He said, you need to have an interpreter for that. Not always. There are rules. We just got to understand the rules. But we want to understand today that on the day of Pentecost, he came and it was a sign to all those Jews that were in Jerusalem, whether they were by birth or by conversion. We see a miracle, and each one of us is hearing in our own birth tongue. This is part of that redemption process. So the Most High reversed the use of tongue from the Tower of Babel, the Tower of Confusion. So if we can hear this, now I'm going to cause you to speak in a tongue, and instead of dividing you, it should bring you together. But if you're still in confusion, it's still going to divide because we're not understanding what the mechanism is being used for. Our Father says, it is my desire to pour out my spirit upon all of you. That you might magnify me and lift me up and give me glory. That your light might be a light unto the world. That I might tabernacle within you. I might come and dwell within you. That I might speak through you, that I might heal through you. When we read the scriptures, we understand that Messiah says himself, so that not for his sake, but for our sake. I can do nothing in and of myself. This body, this flesh can do nothing in and of itself of the Father. When John baptized him and the Holy Ghost came down in the form of a dove and stayed there, stayed on him and lit on him and stayed. That was John's sign. This is the Messiah. Now, the Ruach was already in him, but John needed the sign to announce the Messiah. This is he, which baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Messiah is going to baptize with the Spirit of the Father? Yes, because it is the Spirit of the Father that's in him. And he's the one in flesh. I'm going to give you my Spirit. But he don't ever want us to forget the works that he did while he was in flesh, ever. Because from the Spirit, he couldn't do that. Couldn't come and die as a spirit. But when he took on flesh, this flesh can die. I'm going to allow you to kill it. But the spirit that is within it is eternal. And I have the power to raise it back up again. So each and every one of us, the Feast of Weeks is a celebration. The Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost is a celebration of the newness of life and eternal life and receiving that eternal life. And without receiving this, we are still yet dead. That's when I see those movies, The Living Dead, I'm like, this is how the Most High sees us. A bunch of dead people walking around, but they're just as dead as they want to be. We don't want to be part of the walking dead. We are not alive until we receive the Ruach HaKodesh. We are not considered to be born until we receive the Ruach HaKodesh. Spiritually born. And so as we see this thing manifest itself, we want to celebrate the Pentecost for what it is, ties, new covenant, the promise left by Messiah, the promise made by the Most High in Torah, this new covenant. Messiah says, this is my blood of the new covenant. The new covenant is a greater promise. I'm going to give you my Spirit. I'm going to give you a part of me. I'm going to give you what I gave to the prophets and to the king. By my Spirit. Well, we're going to spend the rest of this weekend rejoicing in Yah, our Elohim, our Redeemer, our Savior. Because this is what this weekend is all about. Our offerings to him. Celebrating the newness of life. Celebrating receiving eternal life. Celebrating receiving the promise that we know that he's going to wake us up if we are just faithful. Don't take his name in vain. Let us not continue to go a-whoring after other gods. He told us, Israel, what our problem is. You're going a-whoring after other gods. You married to me. You took my name, and you're giving yourselves over to other things that aren't even gods, but you're making them a god in your life. You're putting them before me. I want the relationship between us to be right. Not only that, I'm going to elevate you. Because when I give you my spirit, I'll also elevate you. How can you have my spirit and not be elevated? How can you have my spirit and think that you are like the common everyday man? You are not. You have been elevated. You have the spirit of Elohim in you. Literally. Not figuratively. Not in your imagination. Not just in your thoughts. Elohim is real. And he says, I'm going to pour out of my spirit, myself. And I'm going to put it in you. Do you understand what that makes you? I'm going to leave it up to you to figure that out, what that actually makes you. Because, see, I don't think that we really consider that when Elohim unites with us, what does that make us? If we understood, then we would understand how he says, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whosoever sins you say are retained, they are retained. Greater works than these shall you do. He's waiting on us. If we could just understand what he's doing and what he has done. It's got nothing to do with gender. At least I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh and your sons and your daughters and your manservants and your maidservants. So for the rest of this weekend, today and tomorrow, tomorrow night, tomorrow day, it's a celebration. Our Elohim saw fit to choose us, to fill us with the Ruach HaKodesh. To make us citizens in his kingdom, to elevate us. Did ye not know that ye are, what does scripture say? Gods. Elohim. And the scripture cannot be broken. He said he made Israel an Elohim to the world by giving them the word of Elohim. Now he says, I'm going to do a better one than that. I'm going to do a better covenant than that. I want to give you my spirit. Not just my word. Not just the word written down, but I'm going to fill you with my spirit, literally. And you are going to be Elohim. Because I'm in you. We don't walk in the authority that we've been given. We walk in unbelief and in weakness. But if you have the spirit of the Ruach HaKodesh, then Yah has elevated you. And all these brothers talking about they're going to be God, a God, and the Most High hasn't given them his Ruach, they are in bad shape. They're trying to get something under their own power. What time do we have? Oh, wow. Didn't even realize we've been going this long. Good grief. Want to play this for us. Want us to just worship the Most High Elohim. Put your hands up in the air. Listen as you worship the Lord of Israel.
Not by might, not by power, by your spirit. the temple, you are the voice, we are your song. You are our God, we are your people, you are the light, we stand in awe.
All right. Now that we understand what this feast is all about, let us usher in the presence of Yah Elohim. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. We thank you, Father. Magnify yourself. Manifest yourself among your people. Hallelujah. 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 Let Yah be with you this evening, all through the night. Glorify him. Magnify him with your mouth. Praise him with your hand. Allow him to speak to you. Speak to him in the language that he gave to you when he first filled you. Have that personal conversation between you and Elohim. Reaffirm your citizenship in the kingdom. Let Yah have his way. On tomorrow morning, we will continue in the Feast of Weeks Part 2. Yah, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Elohim. We will glorify and lift him up in the scriptures. We will magnify him. We will celebrate his spirit, which is to celebrate him. We will thank Yah Elohim for filling us with the Ruach HaKodesh, for making us his set-apart people. This is a day of celebration. All this weekend, let us glorify Yah Elohim and celebrate him and what he has truly given to us. Every person ought to be happy and joyful and understanding that Yah is true to his word. He is true to his word. And he has opened up this covenant. And that he has chosen you. He has chosen me. He has chosen us. So let us celebrate. Almighty Yah. Father, we just want to thank you from the bottom of our heart for what you have made available to us and what you have given us and how you have elevated us in you. We in and of ourselves are nothing, Yah Elohim. We know this. It is only by your spirit are we anything. And Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you for saving a wretch like me. We thank you for looking down before the foundations of the world and saying, that they belong to me. By name. And Father, we worship you. 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 We thank you. We glorify you. Strengthen us, Father. Let us walk in the light of the knowledge of who we are, your children, your body, your spouse. Father, send your angels. If they have been off worshiping you, Father, reassign them. As you have said, you will give them charge over your people. Let them keep each and every person safe from all hurt and harm. But let each and every one of us understand that by being filled with your spirit, ain't nothing going to mess with us anyway. We accept and receive this, Father, and we acknowledge that we are your people, and we will conduct ourselves accordingly. Until tomorrow morning, may the peace of Yah be with you. May the joy of Yah overtake you. And may you celebrate our Elohim with all your might. Shalom.
Forever, sing his praise, which dwelleth. with the water, baptized, get dumped. I feel with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a bus. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishra, got good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, I live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do? I don't have you, it's all about you, 'cause without you